Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast where myself, comedian and writer and human being Dane Baptiste, my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer.
Hello.
And Ofe on the decks, and a very special mix of guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we're talking everything from politics to humanities to whimsy to philosophy.
To Rocky or Rambo?
To Rocky or Rambo.
I was thinking about that recently.
I'm going to say Rocky.
Rocky.
I like Rambo. Did you see the fourth Rambo?
Yeah.
Which was basically like, what would happen if you let a firecracker off in a butcher shop?
It was
just
brutal.
Meat and blood is insane. Like, at one point, like, he just shoots somebody from a gun turret with like an M60. Right.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. The Apollo Creed. So it's Rocky. That's we've got to go with.
That's the reason. And, you know, Club of Lang was cool too. Let's not forget.
Yeah, and Dolph Lundgren.
Song, you know, let's not forget the film that actually I Have the Tiger comes from.
Yeah.
It was with Club of Lang.
Yeah, good point.
Mr. T, I'll make that clear.
We ask questions like that, I guess.
So questions like that, you know, all the important stuff, we get down to it. And speaking of pugilists, today's guest is a stand-up comedian, spoken word poet, and a writer. He's appeared on numerous TV shows such as Mock the Week, Virtually Famous, Roast Battle, and Soccer AM, not to mention the critically acclaimed 11-ish. He's performed stand-up on other TV shows such as Russell Howard Stand-Up Central, Soho Theatre Live, and Comedy Central at the Comedy Store. He's had his own BBC Radio 4 show exploring different aspects of himself through live stand-up, spoken word, poetry, and interview clips, and also was a collaborator with me on my sitcom, Sunny D. Some of you will know him as Rejay Du Bois. Some of you know him as RJ Moneybags, but the remainder of you will know him by his government name. It's Rhys James!
Yeah!
Hello, everyone. Rocky. For me, about that little baby Rambo? What was that baby Rambo called?
Baby Rambo.
Oh, Son of Rambo.
Son of Rambo.
Will Poulter was in that one, right?
Son of Rambo, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was
little,
all right.
Little mini Rambo.
That sure.
That's
just
okay.
The quality. It's a funny idea. You wouldn't see a little baby Rocky.
Oh,
yeah.
Baby boxing.
Baby boxer. Million Dollar Baby. Is that what that's about? I've just seen the title.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Is that what it
basically,
is?
Son of Rambo, Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby is about a baby pugilist who wins $1 million.
Wow.
Great. Yeah, yeah. So
perfect.
It's a feel-good story.
Hilary Swank's the mum, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. I'll watch that.
Give that a watch.
I get home.
Give that a good watch. Have you seen any good movies lately, Rhys?
Yes. I went to see Stan and Ollie.
Ooh,
have you seen Stan and Ollie?
No,
yet?
But they're saying things.
Well, I went to see Stan and Ollie on Saturday night. The Saturday night just gone.
Mm-hmm.
I went alone on Saturday night.
Okay.
And I don't mind going to the cinema on my own, but people have a problem with it.
Why do they?
I think comedians like it because we go and we do like a weekend somewhere or on tour or something, and then you've got a day to fill, so you go to the cinema.
Lovely.
And also, you can claim that shit back.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't.
Right.
If you're listening. but
I hope they're not
but you
listening.
Can, but I choose not to.
Why can't you claim? Why,
no,
you
I think
can claim
you can.
It back.
Research.
Yeah, it's research. Especially Stan and Ollie. I was researching.
Technically research.
Researching exactly. What idiots laughed at in the 30s, but which, by the way, the answer is anything. Why the judge of that film, but I was on my own, and other people find that so weird when you go to cinema on your own. And literally, as I was walking into the screen, so I'm already past all the main bit. I'm walking into the screen. Someone goes, "Rhys," and I was like, "Oh shit!" And I turned around, and the people I saw who had shouted "Rhys" as I went into cinema alone on a Saturday night were my own parents.
Oh no!
My own parents, who, by the way, weren't alone; they were with each other.
Oh, yeah,
and
exactly.
To see the earlier showing of Stan and Ollie,
and didn't even tell you about it.
Yeah, and also I was going to go to that one at that cinema. I was going to go to the earlier one,
I
ran out of time, and I went to the later one. And I thought, fuck, if I'd gone to the earlier one, I'd have had company.
What did they say to you?
It's like, oh, you're all right.
Are you well?
They didn't make it. It wasn't embarrassing, but
it
was just a bit like, I didn't realize it was a thing until I told my girlfriend later, and she was like, "That is the lamest thing I've ever heard in my life." And I was like, "What do you mean? I like them. We were catching up."
Yeah.
But it is a bit lame.
Glad to hear that you're well.
Yeah, so I've seen that. That's a good film.
It could be worse, though. Like, normally when your parents let you go to the cinema by yourselves, then you when you see them, they're normally fucking. So
yeah.
So I guess you got a perspective.
That is true. You do know, you know my parents quite well, clearly. Yeah.
Normally they're like, well, you go and see a movie, yeah, son, yeah. Me and your mother are gonna get acquainted.
Here's 10 bucks.
Yeah, here's 10 bucks. Yeah, yeah, and then, yeah. You know, you find your dad, wow, right there. Did you get snacks?
No, I was a bit late. I didn't have time.
Don't
for that
be
shit.
Late,
but I went
Reece.
To, well, actually, it was.
Don't be late for the cinema. That's the one place you know when it started.
And I was on my own, so I had no excuse. Ugh. But I went to. I was late because I went to Five Guys next door just before.
Oh,
it.
You greedy devil!
Fair, fair, fair.
And then I was like, just wolfing this burger down to try and get.
Just went for the burger. No side of fries.
I had some fries. Nice. Sure.
And how do you feel about Five Guys post sugar tax? Because it's really put me off. That was really the biggest.
Jamie's got a real beef there.
Oh, is it different?
Yeah, because the whole USP for me with Five Guys was that I could have like four different types of Coke as well as having a burger and fries.
Why, can you not?
Well, you can, but it's got to be like Coke Zero.
It's a bit disappointing,
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
It's not that why those machines. Yeah.
The
machines
are Coke Zero now.
Yeah, they're Coke Zero because of the sugar tax.
Those machines were so new.
They were so new.
They just
so
come into
cool.
cinemas, they were in Five Guys, and it was the most exciting thing in the world when you saw one of those ones where it's like, oh, every drink in the world is available to you now.
Right, like Cherry
Pepsi.
Sprite.
Like
you can get Cherry Sprite, which tastes a little bit better than bleach. But
surely that tastes like a Dioralite.
Oh no, not, you'd wish. No, it's so disgusting.
I'm a Dr. Pepper man, thank you.
Safe, no good. It's good.
Don't want to mess around. Just
straight Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, like, good. Yeah. Good
but
for
I
you.
Would never. Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
Reece
Dr.
James
Zero.
Knows who he is.
You know Dr. Mean? Pepper, Five Guys, Stan and Ollie, mum and dad.
Yeah,
Saturday night.
Where was your girlfriend? Oh, just out with her friend, having a nice evening, which I tried to invite myself to.
Inverted commas, friend or just friend?
It was a female friend.
Good, okay.
But, you know, I don't judge. Do what
you
like.
No, you know what you like to. Well, I mean, you had a nice time.
This is where you're going wrong. You're one of those boyfriends. Can I come? No, I can't. Well, have a good time.
And to be honest, I'm actually not, and I'm lambasted for not being that all the time. And then the one time I was like, I'm literally doing nothing. I haven't got a gig or something. Can I just come? They were going to Box Park in Wembley, which is new. They were trying to go and check it out, see what that was like. And I was like, oh, can I come? And then she was just sort of like, no. And also, I'd made us go to the cinema the night before to watch a different film.
What film was
The Favourite? Have you seen that?
No. Oh,
is that good?
It's all right.
I think it's time for a question.
It's time for a question.
And we always begin with the same thing, don't we, Dane?
Yeah.
It's the guest.
It's the guest. So, that's the first question.
So, Reece.
Yes.
What's your question?
My question is, and am I asking now, am I posing this to everyone?
Yeah. To both of us, yeah.
Would your teenage self be a fan of you now?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Doesn't have to be anything to do with your work. Doesn't have to be anything to do with work. Can just be you as a person.
I suppose to begin, I mean, how do you feel about that question, Reece? What was your teenage self like?
Real bad. I looked exactly like this.
Yeah, I assume you haven't aged at all.
I understand this is not a visual medium, but just Google it.
We might do pictures. If you wouldn't mind sending us a picture of when you were like 16, and then we'll compare it with this now, and it would be the same picture.
I should show you
the same picture with like a different t-shirt.
I actually should show you a picture to get your reaction. I was like, I mean, this is obvious to everyone in the room, an extremely late bloomer. I was like really much shorter than everyone else.
I preached to the choir, baby.
Yeah, I was tiny. And that's a stereotype of people who become comedians. But like, no, but it was insane. I posted a picture recently. I'll show you in a minute just to see your reaction to it. But
because a lot of people have done that. Like Gary Coleman short.
Oh, look, I'll just show you compared to the people. Everyone in this picture is the same age. I'll just show you this.
This is exciting.
I've seen this actually.
We would definitely share this with you listeners. We would definitely share this with you.
Yeah, you have to. You do have to see it.
To believe
it explains
it.
A lot. Guess which one I am.
Are those people your age?
Everyone is the same age.
Oh my god!
Yeah. In that picture. I haven't seen it yet. Let's have a look.
Yeah, everyone in that picture is the same age.
Oh my god! Is that you?
Yeah, that's
him. Yeah, the tiny little boy. You know that everyone's little brother in that picture.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah.
Everyone is the same age in that picture. And that age is 15.
15?
That is me at 15, yeah. So that's what my life was like. Yeah. I was like that. So I had to be non-stop cracking wise.
Of course you did. You had to
and
be
had
Gary
to be like,
Coleman.
And
that's
we would incredible. Like go to, we would go to like, there was a, there's a nightclub called Batchwood, which is like this big fucking, it's a fucking.
You went to a nightclub like that?
Yeah, like so a super they, club kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of
it's kind of like this, it's in the middle of fucking nowhere because it's a massive golf course and like this huge kind of like posh hotel, but it had this, it was just turned into a nightclub at the weekends, but they did a thing in half term called Baby Batchwood, where me and Son of Rambo and Million Dollar Baby could go and hang out. And it was like under 18s thing. And I used to go there, and it was there where like a lot of my mates were quite fit for our age. I wouldn't call them fit 14 year olds now, but I would be like funny dancing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They'd be like dancing and then like getting off with girls and stuff.
Nice.
And then I would be like, yeah, but look at this crazy robot I can do. And everyone has to laugh at me because otherwise I've got no chance of anything else because all the girls are also taller than me.
Yeah. Right. I mean, how short are you at that point? Because you look, no offense, mate, really short.
5'6", 5'5".
Right, so really, like, yeah.
I think I was 5'5".
Maybe even less. No, yeah. It must be less than that.
I think I was 5'5", and I was like, 12, 13?
Yeah.
Right.
But then even I didn't, I mean, I was late bloomer. I don't know if I was that bad.
There was like three guys in my year who were like that, but one of them was a fucking loser, and so he was a loser anyway.
And the other one had severe liver disease.
No, the other, yeah. The other one was like the best footballer, so it didn't, he was fine.
No, yeah.
And it was like,
that's a good point, yeah, because Sean Wright Phillips was very short, but again,
but he was amazing, so everyone was like, so commanded respect.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, but you know, you were the funny one, so that's
But actually, I wasn't definitely the funny one at that age. I was a funny one, but everyone was quite funny.
Yeah,
everyone in that group was quite funny, and also at that age, I was like, it was at an age where I was very much trying to copy sort some bigger boys in the way they like styled themselves and behaved.
And I suppose there's probably an enormous like plethora of sexual based or puberty based jokes that you weren't kind of privy to.
There was so many. I probably maybe a year after that photo was taken was claiming to have had sex because everyone was like, oh yeah, I was having sex with this girl the other day, and then I was like, yeah, me too. You don't know her. She lives on a different planet.
Exactly. She's a different planet. She's not on Facebook.
I used to claim my first kiss had happened. And I used to claim that it was with a girl from athletics. Not even a...
because then you went to the country meet, the country schools meet, Derbyshire schools had a meet.
But like...
She's in a changing room. She went her way, you went your way.
But it's insane. But what a scenario. Yeah, we're just... I go to athletics on Thursdays, fucking miles away from my house. And then we hurdled a bit.
Yeah.
And after the hurdles, suddenly you start getting off inexplicably.
Yeah, well, they weren't there. They don't know.
It's a reasonable lie. It's not the greatest lie.
It's not the greatest lie.
No one believed it. People were like, to be honest, the thing is, you can get away with it at that age because the only question anyone asks is, what's her name? As if I can't think of a woman's name.
Yeah.
As if I'm going, oh God, you've got me. Dave, no!
Terrible. This is the sad origin of slut-shaming guys making up these stories. I would score a guy who claimed, basically, he was a few years older than us. Then he started at my sixth form and claimed that he had a twin who went to this other school. So he had never attended at college. Then went on to say that he had a girlfriend who looked just like Monica, the singer, except she lived in America and was on Facebook. And I was like, I go to America all the time. Where's she from? He was like, I don't remember what state it is, but not the one you've been to, Dane. And I was like, I mean...
dear.
You probably could remember that based on your relationship.
So she was on Facebook and she looked exactly
like... No, she wasn't
like
on Facebook.
That singer.
He's like, don't bother finding her. She's not on
social
media.
That sounds like a catfishing to me.
How long did it take to get the first kiss, Reese?
After that picture?
Yeah.
Once that went viral.
By viral, he means photocopy.
I don't know. To be honest, it was around that.
So you were getting a first kiss around 15? Because obviously some people were losing their virginity at that point.
All right, mate.
I'm not saying. I'm not pointing a finger.
I think I was around 14, 15, first kiss.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
That was all right. That's the first proper snog, I mean.
Yeah,
that's
all right. Doing a kiss I'd done...
Right.
Years.
Are you deep in the game, player?
Oh, mate. I've been gaming.
I've been pecking here and there, kissing, eyes open, closed.
There's a little game called Kiss Chase invented by boys like me.
Nice.
For a good reason.
Why don't we all just, but you can run away.
Oh, mate.
Your teenage self, I'm going to assume then, from what you've told us, would think that you're amazing now, right?
I don't know, because I was similar in that I was a judgmental little prick like I am now.
Right.
So I have not grown out of little shithood, but I actually do think, in terms of my, I'm remiss to say the word work, but my job, I think my teenage self would be a huge fan because I was a massive fan of comedy at that age. And
what kind of stuff?
Young comedian, like there weren't any really. Like on telly, so when a young comedian came about, I would just get like, I'd be like, oh great, it means it's an option. So everyone on TV was Jack D, so I was like, oh, you have to be 40. So I wanted, at that age, I wanted to be a comedian, but I was like, oh, I'll just do a job till I'm 40 and then try that. And then Jack Whitehall and then Bo Burnham, and I saw them on TV and stuff, and I was like, oh, they're so... Bo Burnham was like 18 when I first saw him. Jack Whitehall was presenting stuff at like 19, and I thought they were so cool just because like I thought everyone who was 19 was cool.
It's a cool age,
but they were like presenting and like doing stuff, and I think like And I used to watch panel shows so much. I think if my teenage self was like watching Mock the Week and then saw the sort of jokes I do on it now, I think genuinely, I think they'd be a big fan more than I am now of me.
Yeah, that's what that's
my
the
teenage
point,
self
right?
would think I'm so much better than I think I am.
But that's the point of so many elements of growing up and how I think me and Dane constantly have this thing about the hedonic treadmill, which I don't know if you heard of this theory, right. And I've brought it up with Dane before, which is that, you know, you just keep aiming for the next thing, the better thing, but then that means that you just keep going for the next best thing.
Yeah.
And you're never really satisfied,
of course,
with what you do. And that's most people, particularly in the creative game, where you complete something, can you
take something off and then you go, oh, it's not enough.
But I mean, some of us are like this, and then some of us are happy to get up at midday and earn £200 a night and potentially sleep with somebody out of town at a jungler's gig. Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I mean,
it's not then Jungler shuts down.
And Jungler shuts down. No more drink tokens for you.
But that's the weird thing, though, is because that does exist. And there is constantly a sense of when's the next thing? This isn't enough. But it doesn't stop me getting up at midday.
Yeah.
So I'm still going like, God damn it. You know, I need to do the next thing. This isn't good enough. And then it's also just like my alarm goes off and I go, I don't care that much.
I think younger Reese would like that.
Oh, younger Reese would respect massively the don't have to get up until I want to aspect of my job.
And also all that height.
All that sweet height.
How tall are you now?
Years. 5'10".
Yeah.
You're taller than Tupac Shakur was, if that helps.
Yep. That does help, actually.
He was 5'8". Thank you for saying that. So you're taller than Eminem.
5'10" is the average height for a man in this country, and I know that because I Google it every day.
Is it really the average height?
Yeah.
I thought it was shorter.
Damn it. Maybe, I hope it is. Maybe
I think it's 5'8". I think it might be shorter than
that. No. In the United Kingdom. No, I think globally it might be like
keep
that.
In mind, we're not that tall, like as Norman Saxonic people, like Scandinavians and stuff, and like the Dutch, they're tall people. I don't think English people, Anglo-Saxons are particularly tall.
Yeah.
But then,
that's good.
Still 5'10, you're still, so you're average
Robbie
now.
Robbie Keane, one of my heroes growing up, he was 5'10".
Yeah,
but we did always think he was tiny. That's the weird thing about
Robbie
Keane.
He did look small on the pitch.
He always looked tiny, but he was just nippy.
I saw Ramirez, who used to play for Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
And on TV, he looks really skinny. I saw him in Westfield. Fucking built like so built.
Stacks. How recently was that? Maybe he's just because he didn't go to China. Maybe he just got hench
before he went to China. But even like when I went to school with Sean, like obviously he's very short, and then went to Nottingham Forest for like a season. He was doing a YTS, and I saw him again when I was 17. He was fucking broad, and then they dropped him.
They just get in the gym.
Yeah,
that's what Lukaku got criticised for, didn't he? Because he got too hench over.
That was slightly more complicated, I think.
And then he's too slow. Now he's too slow.
I think there was a little bit more to it than just working out. No, I think
eating.
I think they gave. I think he changed his diet plan, and it backfired. From what I've heard.
Right,
because he definitely seemed a little too big.
Footballers, they wolf it down. I think that's the best part of retiring, is just being able to just
they just get fat instantly.
But going back to the teenage self thing, the thing that kind of fascinates me about it is expectations, like at that age, like what you expect of yourself and therefore what seems attainable. And then, like you say, as you gradually go along in your life, right, things become more and more attainable. Like women, like, you know, would my teenage self be impressed by me? I mean, I'm married. He'd think that's fucking incredible. Like, I'm at 15.
Really? Marriage?
I
understand the idea of, like, having touched a woman.
Yeah.
But being married, was that a thing when you were 15?
But I just wouldn't... I mean, I was so far away from successfully completing any interaction with the female population.
Well, how old were you when you had your first kiss?
Oh, it was 16 in my mate Jamie's garden. Yeah. And they forced it to happen. They forced her. They didn't force her. Sorry, I must stress. That it wasn't. Let's not make this into something,
different time, Berlin.
No.
Feel a hashtag.
She liked me,
but
they kind of forced me to do it because we were both very shy. And then
it was a shy kid kiss.
It was a shy kid kiss. And it was nice. You know, she's very nice. And if she listens to this, it was very nice. But
do you reckon she's listening to it?
She might know me on Facebook. I suppose she might have.
There's a chance.
I think she actually ended up dating a friend of mine recently, which is weird.
Right, so she's not married.
No. But
she's never been able to live up to the dizzy heights of kissing you when
God,
she was.
Mate, it was awful. I mean, it was just an average first kiss. But then for many years after that, I was definitely not prominent.
Yeah,
progressive with finding a woman.
Me too.
Did a bit of the old The Chronic just dropped one album and then just left a long period before.
Get out on top.
It wasn't even that good. And then it was just years. I think for a long time, I just thought I'm going to die alone. And probably quite a young age, I think I thought that.
Yeah, I think I thought that you were going to die alone when I was No, I thought I was. But also, my teenage self, I used to fucking just write poems all the time about dying alone.
Well, there you go.
15. I used to just write fucking poetry and literature, and I used to like make things for girls and
baby
like
ego, yeah. did you used to write like the really verbose like birthday cards?
Oh mate, yeah, mate. I was that nightmare.
It looked like the inlay card of like a R&B CD when I wrote someone a birthday card. Yeah. I was an outrageous sweet boy.
I was the worst mix of things. There's the two things I like. I used to just like post poems to this girl to like her house, being like, if we don't go out, my life won't be worth living.
No,
and guess what? No. We didn't. It absolutely is.
Horrible.
I love my girlfriend very much.
Horrible.
The other thing is like a bit younger. So that was like 16, 17, a bit younger than that. I was the sort of person who, there was a girl I really fancied and it was going quite well actually. And we used to talk on the phone all the time. It was the house phone.
That's a big deal.
Phone chats all the time.
And so she's like, worth it then because you went past the parental guard.
Yeah, exactly. And it was really great. And it was always quite flirty in a way that being 15 can be. And then one day we were talking about the lyrics to the song Roses by Outkast.
Yep.
And she was claiming that the lyrics were Roses Really Smell Like Poo, which we all sort of know they are. Mm-hmm. But in the lyric booklet from the album, it said Boo. And so we had this sort of argument, but it was like a flirty argument of like, no, it isn't. Yes, it is like a bit of fun when you're 15, equivalent of like pulling hair without doing that. And then I then came in the next day and carried on and said, well, actually, if you look in the booklet as I brought in today, you can see that you're wrong. And then she was just like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And we didn't really talk anymore.
Romantic.
After that.
Don't feel bad, Reese. That was her ego. That's a problem there.
I had to, yeah. Okay.
That's a problem there.
this is why I came here.
Exactly. In today's world, she would have said, you have your opinion and I have mine, which means she knows she's wrong, but she doesn't want to concede defeat.
But I would have said, it's not an opinion. I'm literally showing you the data.
Exactly.
I've given you the evidence. It's right here. Don't shoot the messenger.
But the Dane, would you be your teenage self would think you're pretty cool, right? Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I think
surely.
Yeah, it'd be from the same perspective as Reese. It'd be like in terms of job, then yeah, he'd be pretty happy with that.
Surprised? Would your teenage self be surprised what you're doing?
No, I think when you're a teenager, you're a lot more idealistic about the jobs market.
So you think,
I really want it, and I want it to happen, and I'm a good person on the inside. Yeah. So why shouldn't these things happen?
There was never a moment of doubt when I was
exactly.
Teenager,
so how you have adolescent
comedian.
You have adolescent privilege, as in you know. My prostate will work forever. Why wouldn't it? get too drunk to get an erection. How can that happen? Life is for the living. So
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So if I make it past 19 and I don't go to jail and I'm not stabbed, I've made it. So in some ways, expectations were very low.
Would you see yourself like your stuff? Like watch your stuff?
I think, it's again, the same thing. Like some of the earlier stuff, they probably like a lot more. Those premises would be a lot easier for them to grasp.
Okay. Yeah. Why? It's because it's got too complex and deep.
Yeah, now, yeah. I think I've been... Yeah, I kind of was weaned on a diet of like, I suppose, like kind of Def Jam comedy and stuff. So the more I emulated that, he'd be a lot more impressed with that initially. So,
right.
But then at the same time, I think, even then I always had something to prove. So if it did come across as being a bit more distinctive, then I think my teenage self would go for it. I think my teenage self would, because my whole thing has always been just this inability to live in the moment. And people that would say that to me, even as a teenager, would make me roll my eyes because I'm really like, there is no way of living in the present. Like just your utterance of the present means that we're now in the future because time doesn't stop. So it's impossible to do. Yeah. And
even if we did it right now, it just went.
Yeah. So and also the fact that, you know, there is no actual linear way of measuring time. So,
And you're obsessed with the past, mate. You keep bringing up what you were like as a teenager.
I massively dwell. So that's absolutely fine. But I think, my teenage self would probably be like, those people that we want to get, have they been got? And I'd be like, not yet, but the time's coming. I think my teenage self would be okay. I would rather be able to reassure my teenage self about certain parts of now being like, as in the stuff I worried about when I was younger. Doesn't really matter now. So even all the stuff about like experiences with girls and when is the right time to do that. Yeah. So for me, like my nephew is 12 now, for example. So he's now beginning that process of like getting to that place of teenage angst. And I want to be able to be there and tell him and be like, it does not matter when you lose your virginity, like your worth is not defined by any women you're with. And because it does not matter.
It's tough.
I wish I could say, don't worry about all this embarrassment.
Yeah.
Because you're going to monetize this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You actually pursue more of this. It will be beneficial in the future if you could
take notes.
If you could have moments of absolute shame more often, this would really help.
But try and do it without your parents getting wise, because like you still can't take dad yet. And by the time you can, it's not going to be worth it. So.
Well, I like that question, though. It makes you reflective. Reflective question, Reese.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah,
this is the first one that came into my head.
It was a good one.
Lucky. Obsessed.
I've got a slightly different question, but it's probably linked in some ways. Because I was just thinking over the end of the year, 2018, just gone, about like someone really fucked me off in public, and for just for a very brief second, I thought, should I hit this? Should I go and attack this person? And then I realised, no, obviously, I'm not that guy.
Right.
You know, if I was that guy, that would be a real problem, right? And it made me think, well, I've never really been in a fight. And therefore, I was asked the question to a pair of you. Have you ever been in a fight?
Well, it does sort of go back to that time, doesn't it? Well, first of all, I want to dissect what you just said.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I need far more information. Someone fucked you off. Is that all we're going to hear?
Yeah.
Someone fucked me off and I nearly beat them up and I didn't. What would you do?
It's so trivial, no. It's so trivial. It's just the way people act in public. Dane talks about this. Like,
it's insane. I mean, saying that, Howard, it does sound like when you said I'm keeping time away from my Jewish family, you meant Murder, Inc., clearly.
You know what it is? It's being in a queue and someone is just so blissfully unaware that anyone else is in this queue.
Yeah.
Just think about it. If you know you're going to be ages, I'm only fucking just... And I'm getting to the point with this guy who's just like, I'm going to kill this man if I have to listen to him try and exchange this fucking thing. And I was literally at the point where I don't know whether it's because I had a hangover, whatever it was, I was like, I'm genuinely thinking about physically assaulting this man.
So this is in a situation. Look, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
The idea, it is very annoying, yes, when someone is taking a long time in front of you in a queue. It's as annoying, if not more annoying, when someone just stops. That's the thing that annoys me the most.
Stops
is when
walking.
You're walking along or you're at an escalator, you're on an escalator, you get to the top and someone decides to stop because they've got to get a ticket or something.
The difference is
there are
time,
a million
though.
People being pushed towards you and this is infuriating. That is a waste of time, of course. You're waiting for someone to do that.
And he was so long. I mean, like, I don't want to be in Urban Outfitters any time of my life.
Throw some gasoline onto this fire and include the people who know their stop is coming up and wait until the train arrives at that stop, and then they're like, why won't anybody let me off the train? Because you should have been by the fucking door when it got to to your stop. We all know the etiquette.
Yeah.
I'm pro-immigration, completely liberal when it comes to immigration, but I've got some conservative leanings where tourism is concerned. And if you still don't know by now, you should stand on the right-hand side, get back on the plane, turn them around, back on the boat.
All of that said,
I can't just
punch a bloke because he's taking ages in front of you.
How do you know the exchange policy? You know it's an exchange policy. It's obvious. You haven't got the receipt. It's just like after a while.
So he doesn't even have a receipt?
He didn't have the receipt.
I'm angry.
I've got.
Did it have the tag in it?
I don't know. But I was just at a point where I'm like, I'm now taking off my headphones to listen to you because I've been standing here so fucking long. I'm sweating. And it's like, this is supposed to be my Christmas, you prick. Like, and I was getting so angry.
Sorry, this is on Christmas Day?
No, it's like a few days afterwards when my wife didn't like her presents. And I was like, just thinking to myself.
So it sounds like we know what you're really angry about.
Yeah.
It's not about this guy at all suggesting
that I'm a good person. Let's make that clear.
No, just the one capable of projection.
Actually, I should clarify. I just assumed it was a bloke. Maybe I've given you too much credit there.
Yeah. It was a bloke.
This dusty old bitch.
That looks like someone's wife who's also furious with her presents. Who does that remind me of? I can feel my fist pumping.
It's ungrateful.
I love my wife and her choice of clothing, and that's fine, but his latency, he just took too long, and I was getting furious, and I thought to myself, do you know what would solve this problem? Me beating you up.
In Urban Outfitters. You were going to do it in Urban Outfitters.
Well, I didn't do it.
But the logic was because you didn't do it, but the thought that crossed your mind was, there's no point doing it once he's gone, right? Because the problem has ended.
Well, how can I beat him up once he's outside?
No, when he's outside, if he's like, Oh, he'll still be around. This man dilly dallies, remember?
I didn't feel like a criminal if I did that, because there was a queue of people. Because everything you've got to remember, mate, I'm doing this for the people behind me, right?
Oh, what a noble man you are.
Dane knows Dane's going to start agreeing with me here, because I've got people queuing up behind me. I'm
mate,
next
really
in queue.
Really passing the buck. You're passing the buck so much. It's for them. It's
this
for Dane.
You see how you groom me, Reese? Hey, Dane, what's better, Rocky or Rambo? Punching someone or...
Oh, Rocky, you say?
Yeah, Rocky.
Oh, funny you should agree. Yeah, if you'd said Rambo, this would have been a story about how you've got a gun out.
It's just
and then
not
I tied the bandana
way...
around my head and I went haywire.
I bought someone a present. I've got it wrong. I'm changing it. I go in with a game plan. Do you know what I mean? You've got to have a game. You've got to know what you're there for. Stop fucking around.
I'm with you. You've got 15
what else did you have on? Well, this is in the bit between Christmas and New Year.
And we're going to watch comedy and we're going out for dinner and I've got to go
and
meet
her. And he's holding
up
the plans and she's already irate with the present. You're
Arsenal
trying to switch
up. Arsenal were 4-1 down against Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? I've got problems, Reese. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've got problems. It's Christmas. I don't want this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into a fight, but you're making me think about it and it made me think, God, when I see Reece James and Dane Baptiste in a couple of weeks, I'm going to ask him.
Howard, you know me. I understand. I totally get it. But I will say, Howard, you're not describing a fight. What you're describing is a premeditated attack.
Yeah.
A fight is when there's maybe a difference between ideology and some adversity that leads to physical confrontation. Mm. What you're saying is someone pissed me off and I wanted to hit them.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
No, you're right.
Also, there's a very awkward thing where, like, we all get livid about this sort of thing. And then-
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And like, just very rarely, but every now and then, we are that person.
Oh, of course.
We have to be that person who doesn't have the receipt and is trying to return something or has stopped.
I'll be honest as well. I should say one thing. I don't think I could take this guy.
Oh, so...
I don't think I could take this guy.
Oh, so that's the only reason you decided not to bother?
No.
Not because you realised it was the wrong thing to do?
It's, no. So, yeah, I mean, it's Christmas as well. But also because I've got bad... You know, I talked about my knee before to you. Like, I've got problems with my knees and like I've also been sitting at a desk too much, my shoulder. I'm not going to beat... This guy's going to have me if I do try and take him on.
Urban Outfit is quite a young shop.
Exactly.
How old are we talking this guy?
He's probably mid-20s and I'm not. So... He could have definitely had me.
Yeah, I don't know. You want
for listeners, Howard is 13.
Yeah. And 6'4".
But he's, I couldn't have him. And it made me think, like, God, if I did a fight with this man, I would lose. And I've never been
that
in any
would,
fight.
Genuinely, it would be the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. Someone in a queue is really angry in Urban Outfitters, really angry. So on behalf of the rest of the queue, who don't really give a shit, goes up to this man to assault him out of anger and then gets immediately beaten up.
Yeah.
Therefore, making the queue wait
so
even longer.
Quick. It would have been so quick. I hadn't had much to eat as well, so I was hungry. And
so
I was
maybe
weak.
Maybe you were hangry as well. So,
No, it's all part of it. Look, it was a really... Christmas was great, but that was a bad moment. And I thought to myself, you know what? You've never been in a fight, Howard. Wonder how you'd get on.
This is the sort of thing, though, that if that was... Sorry, just to, if this was... Because it was at Christmas. If this was in a Christmas film, you would go up, attack this guy. He would beat you up. And then afterwards, he would go... No returns.
That's the name of the film.
Then some cost token
no
cost would be like,
available.
Damn, he went urban on your ass, man.
you're
suburban, but that was urban, man. Get your ass kicked.
Keep the receipt.
So have you been in any fucking fights, the pair of you? What? Have you beaten anyone up?
No, I haven't. I've not been in a fight.
You've never been in a fight in your life?
No, it's weird, isn't it? Because it seems like I would be the way I'm mouthed off. It actually, a lot of people, I must have started some fights. There's a guy I'm mates with called Steve, who was the guy who was also like, he wasn't short, but he was like a skinny guy. He was like a wily kind of guy.
Okay, I know the guy.
And he was like, he would always kind of like do something to annoy someone and then kind of like back. He always thought he could take anyone, but he realized quickly he couldn't. He'd back off and then like our bigger rugby mates would then end up having to have this fight. Mm. So he'd always be there just like, just being a nuisance. And I was that to an extent. I was just like a wisecracking little shit who would say stuff, and then like someone would start on me, and then someone else would come along and go,
"Hey, come on, Reese, come on, guys! You know, Reese's got that liver thing.
This isn't fair." Yeah. Come on. So I would just be, but also I was so governed by fear, right. as I still am officially my whole life. Yeah, that's another film title. I'm so fucking scared all the time that I'm just like, if I ever had started something, I'd just immediately be like, oh, sorry. I had a beef with a guy when I was a teenager called Adam, who's actually my friend now. But we had a beef that I think was based based in MySpace bulletins originally.
Right.
That's the generation I am. loser I am. But there was a time where like, for some reason it kicked off on the playground, and like he, one of my mates had just like pushed him around a little bit, and I hadn't said to, but it definitely seemed like I said, go and beat him up or something. So then he was just like, this is out of order. So he was coming for me. Right. He was coming to like, let's just finally have it out once and for all. Yeah. And I was like, absolutely terrified. This guy was also really short, but I was just like, I can't win. I'm not going to win a fight against anyone. And also just don't want to have a fight. And I was so scared. And I think genuinely it's the only time in my life that my lip has actually quivered.
Ooh.
I think I felt my lip quiver, and then I had to stand there like I was being all thoughtful, just like holding my lip. Shit. Like, shall I have this fight or not? Just like holding my bottom lip because I was just like really shook. But that's the only thing I can think of that was close to me being in a fight.
It's a big deal. I mean, I've never been in a fight.
It's a big deal.
I've never been in a fight. And it's,
nothing to be ashamed of, man.
But it makes me think a bit like Fight Club. You know, how much do you know about yourself? You know, being in a fight, quite a lot. It would be the answer. I know quite a lot about myself without being in a fight. But it does interest me to know what I would. Like, maybe we should have a fight, Reese. See how we
yeah, not, all right.
Because we'd learn something about ourselves.
Wait till I've got something to take back, and then
crazy correct conditions.
Two birds, one stone. Yeah, you know, I don't want to waste a day.
But the idea of, no, and I mean this with love, obviously, because we're not violent people. The idea of punching you in the face just seems...
People find that quite appealing.
No, but absolutely they tweet me alien, that like an alien idea to me. Like, why would I punch... Like, it just seems...
I'm genuinely frequently described as having a punchable face.
Even for listeners who can't see this, Howard just motioned the punch.
Yeah, I didn't actually do it in his direct... I just went like that.
No, but even the way you punch, I know you've never punched anybody.
I see why you actually did wait for my episode to bring this up, because...
Even that, that's...
The guy in Urban Outfitters you weren't confident about, but it's clear you believe you could take me.
I don't think I could take you... It's more that I think because you've got you're a novice. How many times have you punched someone? Very rare, I assume.
Yeah, no, never punched anyone in the face.
Yeah, so I mean, think a look at my face and think. Imagine taking your fist and hitting your fist into my face. It's what weird idea, right?
Well, I'm finding it easier to imagine than you do. No.
It's a weird idea.
Yeah, of course. It's I wouldn't know
or punch someone in the face.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I know you. Like, I just spend how much time do I spend with you nowadays? Yeah. We should get to a point at some point where one of us is going to want to punch the other person in the face.
I wouldn't, though.
But you wouldn't know.
It have seems you punched so... anyone in the face?
Yeah,
who have you punched?
I punched a few people in the face. Majority of them have been under, like, I used to do karate, so they're under the correct conditions.
Okay.
So you're not supposed to,
to punch in karate.
Yeah. So you, but you're not supposed to draw blood. Right. So you get disqualified.
You're not supposed to draw blood. Where's this anecdote going?
Yeah, no, not me, but I, you know, a few people that would do it frequently and be like, he ran into my fist. But yeah, you're not supposed to make people bleed and stuff, because that's like an automatic disqualification. Right, so in sparring, which is called kumite, you have like a half point, which is a wazari, and that's like if you hit someone in the chest or if you hit someone in the face, it's called an ippon, which is 1 point. But but really, even the idea of punching people in the face, like from a martial art perspective or fighting, it's not actually good to do, because obviously the skull is very hard, as the jaw, so you're much more likely to break your knuckles or your wrist. And also it's a smaller surface area for you to hit. So the more you hit someone in the head, normally you find people bash someone back of their skull and your knuckles begin to swell. So it's not really a good fight. And also, saying that, most people, even if they say they've been in a fight, very rarely do most people know how to react when they are hit in the face.
Interesting.
The last time I got punched in the face was at university, where I was in a nightclub or like a bar. And a girl basically had come to this club with her boyfriend or somebody she was seeing or somebody who liked her. I don't know the story, but I remember her motioning over towards me and having a conversation, and then a much larger man came over and punched me in the face. And I got kicked out of the fucking nightclub.
You're kidding me.
He did as well, but I got kicked out. I was like, I didn't even do anything. I just got punched in the face. He was quite a big guy. But then the thing is, most people, like, because people don't really punch people in the face that often without training. So, like, luckily, he kind of just managed to kind of glance my jaw.
It is weird when you think about, most like, people, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't logically make sense to punch someone in the face.
Yeah, most people don't.
It's
go
just
for
that
it.
We're so basic as people that we just go. That's where the words are coming from.
Yeah, so the words
and
the brain is so people. Yeah,
and then, like, yeah, I guess it's just like make someone unconscious.
Yeah, it's knocking somebody out is very hard as well. Even then, you got to be careful because if you hit somebody, if you're going to hit somebody, and think about it, because if you hit someone and they fall down and hit their head, then you have gone from assault to manslaughter.
Well, yeah, it's a big deal.
But yeah, I've had a few fights, but yeah, I also have been adverse to getting into any serious fights, and that's only because where I grew up, like, those things can escalate way out of control. So it's very rare that you'd even have people having one-on-one fights, because that normally comes from someone involves their family members or their cousins or whichever gang they're from. So when you're having a fight, you kind of have to think about who you're fighting and if it's worth it. So it's kind of like, am I prepared to drag my friends or my family into what will become now a beef? Or, for example, like, when I play football, like, for example, if you punch one Albanian in the face, you will be fighting a whole family of Albanians.
Yeah.
Just culturally, if one's in trouble,
and
they're all in trouble.
That's a dream come true.
Somali. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to consider with the fighting. But I just think, yeah, it's
That's the same where I grew up, though. If you were to punch me in the face, you would be fighting a whole team of lawyers.
Well, exactly. And then you're in trouble.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And then you're really in trouble.
But it is interesting to have got to a point in life, because I do think it's interesting from one perspective, which is it partly defines your, I don't know, your aura in public, right? Because there's you are at threat, and good luck walking back to the station in a bit, Reece, but we are all at threat, right, of being someone just deciding to attack us, which obviously doesn't happen most days.
Not necessarily, but this is the thing about the self-defense thing, is that it's not the real I guess the objective of you mastering martial arts is not self-defense. It's not so you can defend yourself in a fight. It's realizing when a hostile situation is taking place, so you avoid it completely. So rather than me, like, for example, getting into with somebody, if I've spilled someone's drink or something in a bar, it's more like you just are aware of stuff that's happening, so you can see when trouble's brewing, so you don't get involved. And that's really the key anyway. So yeah, it's just best to avoid it. And also, but like I said, yeah, I've had fights, but
so when you in terms of that, though, in terms of seeing when there's trouble, and if you're basing this on karate, do you just expect trouble if you see someone wearing like a white robe
sometimes
with a belt around them? You just say, holy shit.
It depends what dojo they're from.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Cobra Kai,
something's
always going to kick off.
Right,
no mercy, you know, they're like, Cobra Kai kind of thing. But I mean, even nowadays, it's kind of like, I guess, it's quite an archaic martial art, karate, because now you've got like mixed martial arts and stuff and UFC. Yeah. So they've almost like distilled all the discipline and philosophy from it, and it's more just about fighting, which is why you can now have trained sociopaths.
Yeah.
So it's not even up there. They're not able to defend themselves without the whole part of the philosophy of like only if, because like there was a time, like, I guess the 70s, where like if you were in karate, you had to register your hands as lethal weapons. And
that's
be quite dangerous.
So funny.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
But then, that's because, I mean, with karate, the style it is, and you find a lot, when I used to train, you'd find a lot of really tall guys with really big guts. Like all the teachers, like all the black belt teachers, you think, yeah, look, that he's in shape. But it's because as a style, like it used to be for like nobles, like on horseback and stuff. And also it's like a lot of it's based on your hips. So when you've got a big gut and you put your weight behind the punch, right, then you can basically fracture.
But that's the weird
skull
thing, because like you imagine that those karate guys, it happens in some like sitcoms and stuff, but those karate guys, the guys who are like really into karate, and they like, they get in a fight, and then they suddenly adopt this embarrassing stance. Suddenly they're like, okay, and they get all low. Yeah. And it's like,
you wouldn't do that. But I just think, I've been in fights, but I think for most people, and I think most people don't really get into fights anyway, because I guess most people don't really know how they react anyway. Because for example, like even the representation of when you see combat in like films and stuff, fights don't last longer than a minute.
No, someone gets decked. Yeah,
or you get fucking tired, because most people are just doing windmills with each other. Like I remember seeing a fight like outside. It was in Lewisham at some McDonald's. Two guys fighting, and basically like they had both had a bit of a reputation. They start fighting, and it's basically just two people doing windmills until they get tired, or like, you know, some civilians like, you two break it up, leave it alone, children, and then that's basically what happens. So
interesting. Well, Reece, I'm going to offer you Not offer him out on the podcast.
Howard.
That's a first, by the way.
I'm going to give you a lifetime. You have anytime you want to come and punch me in the face, see what it feels like.
Oh, you're offering me that?
Yeah, for the rest of your
not
life.
Not like we have a fight.
No, we don't have a fight. But one day, whatever you
actually,
want.
Actually, I am going to go. I'm going to go train. I'm going to go learn how to do the perfect punch.
You've got it for the rest of your life. If you were one time, one punch,
punch you in the face.
I'm just putting it out there to the public now, just so everyone knows. Some point in the next how many years you can punch
I'm going to redeem that offer on your deathbed. I'm going to be the one who does it.
That's how I would do.
Finally, that's when you flatline.
Do you know how many people would love what I've offered you, by the way? People that know me really well would dream of this offer.
Is it for sale? Am I allowed to sell
it? No, you're not allowed to sell it.
Damn it.
If Rhys James tries to sell that to you, you don't. But that was a good, well, I'm glad you enjoyed that question. It was interesting to hear different takes on it. Dane. It's Dane's question, Reese. Dane finishes our show.
Oh, yeah.
And I want you to know, Reese.
That's the title of the show.
Yeah, and I've spent as much time on this question as you have with yours.
Great.
I want you to know that because I have mutual respect for you.
Well, what episode? This is like quite a few episodes in, right? You must have run out of questions by now.
Never going to run out of questions. You have no idea you're dealing with.
Touched a nerve.
It's competition. We haven't had a repeat yet, which is impressive.
This is it, Reese. And with that in mind, I hope it's not been jinxed now. So Rhys James, aka Rhys J the Boy, you're known for your mature approach to your craft, despite despite your boyish look, young looks.
Thank you.
But my question is to you, Rhys, going back to actually very close related to the question you asked me, was what is on Rhys James's bucket list of things to do before you're 40? Top five things. Maybe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Lovely question. Question from Dane. You see,
I've genuinely never really.
Yeah, because some say that Rhys James never ages. So
Rhys James.
Oh, when I'm 40, I won't look different to this. I'll just hopefully dress a bit better because I'll have more money. But who knows?
I don't think you dress badly, mate.
It wasn't necessarily a criticism of that. I just meant like this, but richer brands.
That's a lovely jumper.
Thank you.
Look on the social media of Question Everything podcast to see a picture of Reese's lovely jumper.
It's a new jumper, bought it a couple of days ago.
Nice.
Was that you queuing?
Sorry?
You taking that back?
Yeah. What's on my bucket list? I don't know. I want to do. It's all fucking, but it's so boring because it's just none of it's fun
and it's all work
related.
We'll be the judge of
it's
how boring.
It's all just things
it is.
I want to do number for one. Work reasons. Do some shows in America.
Cool, man, that's great. West Coast, East Coast.
Any
both?
Particular venue in America?
Yes, Madison Square Garden.
Nice.
I would like to just do some stuff in New York. I don't really care about doing stuff in LA.
Rhys
I just
James.
Love New York. I really love
Rhys
New York.
Rhys James wants to play comedy in clubs in New York. Beautiful image.
It's not really. Nah, I don't consider it bucket list stuff.
That's cool bucket list thing,
it's job stuff. So what bucket list stuff do I want to do?
I'm going to dispute that. I think when you're a passionate person about what you do, it consumes so much of your life. And therefore to have that stuff on your bucket list is a reasonable thing. I think if you hate your job,
And
therefore you go, oh,
that's a good point actually. Yeah. People, yeah, bucket. That's maybe this is why I've never considered my bucket list is because I don't hate my life. People who write a bucket list is like, I've got to swim with dolphins because I fucking want to kill myself every morning. So I have to go and do this because every day I get up, the alarm goes off, I look at the person next to me and I go, why did I wake up? So I have to jump out of a fucking plane now or my life will have been worthless. Whereas I don't have an alarm, I wake up.
Take your time with it. And
I sort of like look at my phone for an hour and then I get up and go, this is all just fine. So I don't care about being in a plane. Everything's fine. I'm quite happy sitting here.
At some point, someone's going to pay for me to fly somewhere.
Exactly, yeah. That is going to
And you wonder why people want to punch you in the face.
So yeah. So, I don't wonder. I don't wonder
you
don't, why.
Because you don't age. And these other comedians are like, I really want my marriage to work. And they're like,
look, at some point, this will be sorted.
It'll be fine.
Genuinely. So I'm now about to say stuff like, oh, my bucket list is just to be a multimillionaire. But no, it's absolutely not. I just want to give back, you know? To be honest, I don't need a bucket list. As long as everyone around me is happy, that's what will make me truly happy. My bucket list is bringing joy to... no, I don't know. Yours, see if it inspires me. Is there anything I want to give? I care about.
I mean, I tell you, I'd say this: there's things I haven't done in my life. That I think, I'd like to do that. Maybe I'll make a note, like a bucket list.
I want you to keep in mind that you are not bound by either finance or legality.
Yeah, of course,
that helps.
But I'm saying it's stuff like that,
and physical law if you want to push
legality,
it a bit.
I'm concerned about that. things I could say.
It's because I want to be a part of like a cool bank heist, like an Ocean's 11 kind of thing.
Yes, definitely. So, I want to have like a really cool,
which one do you want to meticulously planned, like white collar crime, like
and I'd want to
Danny Ocean and maybe mastermind the whole thing, or Brad Pitt and just occasionally like just tantalize women on the screen by eating fruit suggestively.
Yeah.
I would pay a lot of money to watch you convince a team of comedians to arrange a bank heist.
I had an idea of adapting a big white collar crime I heard of, where there's a guy who convinced the head of a Brazilian, I think the head of a Japanese bank based in Brazil,
right,
to build an airport, and it's like the biggest scam, like 419 scam that's ever been run.
Wow.
And I think that's an amazing premise for a film. Of making that happen.
But
imagine getting a whole team together to make that happen.
Yeah.
That would be great. I would love to do that. White collar crime, great.
I mean,
shout.
That's so ambitious. Like, wow. I mean, I was just going to say, I'd quite like to go on a safari because I've never.
That's fine.
Because, you know, you go to the zoo and it's like, oh, look at that animal. He looks really fucked off because we've put him in a cage so I can look at him. I'd quite like to go to them. You know what I mean? It'd be quite interesting. Like, South Africa, as much as it's a problematic place, I hear.
In other ways.
Yeah, in many ways. I hear has like the sickest safaris ever.
I've heard it's great.
And
yeah.
Just the idea of going to see a leopard and being like, look at that. That's
would
a
you,
leopard.
Would you like a species named after you? That's another thing, maybe.
No, I'd rather have a disease named after me, I think.
A Rhesus syndrome.
Yeah.
Which is obviously infinite youth.
Rhesus pieces.
Rhesus pieces, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like this particular part of my skin doesn't age at all.
It's a wrinkle-free. Anti-wrinkle cream.
I said safari something. That's quite easy. Like, I'd like to go to Japan.
Japan is on there. I'd want to go to Japan.
Particularly the islands. You know, there's like loads of islands there. Someone was telling me that everyone thinks about the cities, but Japan's little islands are supposed to be
which
amazing.
Is good. Oh, Japan would be on there, definitely.
I was watching something on Japan yesterday and it also inspired me. I also want to maybe be the temporary acting head of a crime syndicate.
A lot of crime here, Dane.
That's what I mean, because it's like, once I get to midlife, it's like, what have I got to lose, right? So just start fucking around. Maybe start genetically engineering, you know, dinosaurs that obey my command. Whatever. Mm. Like,
oh, I'd like to be able to wear a suit without looking like I've wandered off from a school trip. I'd like to get to a point where I still obviously don't want to look old, but I would like a suit to look natural on me. That would be great.
That's a nice one.
Also, I would like to play football at Wembley or White Hart Lane.
For Tottenham.
Well, yeah, but...
Too late.
Maybe in one of those charity games.
You could soccer aid.
Though, so I'd be really nervous.
That'd be fine, but
I think you're a good footballer. Someone told me you were decent at football. Good. I'm sure I remember you being good
at
football.
I've been leaking a lot of propaganda,
We played 11-ish, the game.
I'd like 11-ish to come back. If we're talking about unrealistic...
40 or 50?
Legality and finances aren't an issue, then yes, 11-ish comes back.
Defying physical laws, yeah. The football one's an interesting one. I think maybe like a testimonial would probably be fun if you could arrange that.
Though, that's not a bucket list. It's I'd like to have been a footballer is what it is.
Yeah, that's,
I'd like to be 19 and like playing in the Premier League.
I'll tell you one that's a good one, a career one, and it's an interesting one because we could all probably have this, is would it be great to make a film? Like, we make a lot of TV between us, right? We've all worked on different TV things.
It'd be great to make a film.
I experienced that recently because I worked for the guys that made the I've told everyone this before, the Bros film, right? Which has obviously had this, like, insane spurt of, like, interest.
They're getting bookings again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're,
as a result
they're
of
the Brixton, aren't they? They're going to But it was interesting because it's a film. They're going to show that at Prince Charles Cinema, which is, I'm not doing advertising for the company, but it is a lovely cinema that I go to because it's afternoons. You just think, I want to be cool to go and watch your thing at a cinema. Like, I've never done that.
I record stuff on TV and I'm like, I will die of cringe if I have to watch myself again.
But if you've written,
I know what you
so
mean.
If you write the film
rather
with
than
me
being
and Reese,
if you
about
just...
the heist thing in Japan or the airport in Japan, and that ends up in the cinema. Imagine the three of us sitting there watching that day. Whether you're in it or not, it would be as cool as fuck, right?
It'd be very cool.
I love cinema.
That would be great,
I always loved cinema as a kid. And TV kind of forces you to, in this country anyway, to pick, like kind of narrow your vision a bit. And I think I'm getting older and I'm like, I'd like to have done that.
Yeah, you don't see it a lot. There's not many, you don't see many like, it doesn't happen.
Mm.
They're not that many British films.
No.
And there's certainly not that many British comedies.
Yeah.
And there's not that many that do well.
Yeah.
But all I need is to be in a cinema just one night.
You just want one night. Yeah. All right. You can probably hire a cinema.
I'd want to make a film as well that'd be like, but it's some unique aspect of it. Like, it's an art house film, but I filmed it on like an iPhone X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, so it was able to. Kung Fury. Did you ever see that film?
Yeah.
No.
So I think it's got like Bjorn Gustafsson and a few like.
It's quite a funny film.
Quite a funny film. And I think it's like £1 million it cost, the budget, of a crowdfund.
Minimum. Yeah.
And it's available on like YouTube and stuff. And like, being able to do that, and I suppose being like a YouTube equivalent of like Tarantino.
Would be
a very cool to have, I think. I also want to be a ninja.
Yeah,
train as a ninja, right?
There's a certain appeal to that. I would like to do a drug deal.
See, now.
But like a mass, but selling it, obviously.
Mm. Of course, yeah.
Okay, really?
Don't need the other one on the bucket list, actually. I would like to do it in like a Breaking Bad level of like production.
Wow. Yeah.
If you had like employees
in like underwear and
you're
stuff,
fucking
and
genius,
face masks
and you're like, yeah, you're like selling
it. And your head's at the top of an
bulk.
FBI organogram, and they're like, now, guys. James never touches the stuff.
Yeah.
But he does make him in a hand to hand.
He does turn it this beautiful blue colour.
Yeah.
You're the last person on the planet that anyone will suspect.
Exactly.
As well. So that's quite a clever move. This interesting mix of things here, because obviously some of them are just mental, but
yeah, it's weird because like typical bucket list things are jumping out of a plane, swimming with dolphins, safari.
Don't want to swim with a dolphin. Couldn't give a fuck about it.
I swam with a dolphin. It was fine.
Yeah, it's like swimming, but there's a dolphin there, right?
Well, it's just swimming, but easier. You know when you're younger and then your dad swims and you grab onto his shoulder and then you just glide? It's just that, but it's not your dad.
Yeah. Some dolphin you don't know.
It's someone else's dad.
He's being a bit inappropriate.
It's someone else's dad. And also dolphins rape.
Mm. So it's
pretty risky for a bucket list when you think about
it. Exactly, yeah. So my dad is morally superior to a dolphin, as far as I'm aware.
And maybe equally intelligent. You don't know.
Have
you already spoken to him, Reese? You might learn something.
I've just thought of one. I'd like to play table tennis in front of an audience and win.
Okay.
I'm quite good at table tennis.
I'm not thinking about this and win element. So like, yeah, I'd like to play football and be excellent.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I didn't think about. So I didn't know you could completely bend.
Well, I mean, I could be. I'm decent at. Are you good at table tennis?
I'm all right. Everyone thinks they're good at table tennis.
If me and you
say you're not, no, but I'm probably not.
I'm not a professional standard, but in the amateur circuit, I could probably hold my own. And I imagine if we had a game and there was an audience there and I beat you, I'd quite enjoy that.
I'd like to play pool against someone. And just, I win from my first shot onwards.
Nice. I'm the same, but I would like to do it with a Texas Hold'em poker.
Yeah.
And just be like...
It's boss. Absolute boss.
Yeah. And someone's like, this is for the money, Dane, and my wife. And then I'm like, royal flush, and maybe have some respect for your wife. And then I leave the table with the money.
Wouldn't it be better, though, if you didn't have a royal flush and you were bluffing and they folded?
They lost
their wife because of a bluff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you lost your wife over a bluff. Then I jump out of a plane, land on a dolphin, and swim to football training.
Perfect.
Yeah. And while you're doing that, I'm going to punch someone who's taking too long over a queue.
So that's your bucket list.
That's my number one thing.
I want to grow 8 inches. That's mine. Wish I was the tallest man in England.
But this isn't going to happen.
I want to grow another inch and a half. That would be cool. I'd like
really?
To do that.
What would you do with it?
I would like to join maybe, and then I become really good at basketball, and then I join the NBA. And
there's so many things.
But some of these are realistic, some of them aren't. We've had some realistic ones in this.
I want to be able to grow a beard. That's the main one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
This is a real one.
That's
now.
A fair one. Yeah, what if you created, maybe if you create like a serum that lets hair grow organically?
But if we're going down that road, then I might as well just put some magnets and iron filings in my cheeks.
Do people do that?
No, it's a little game, isn't it? Called Big Boy. What's that guy's name?
I thought you had considered doing
it. I don't know. Well, I mean, it was...
Woolly in America, it's called.
Oh, right. Just in case anyone needs to know. That was a good question and a good set of questions tonight, Dane. I enjoyed those. That was fun, wasn't it?
It was really fun. Yeah. It was cool. And it's good to have Reese down. I really appreciated him working with me on Sunny D because... They suggested other writers and they sucked, Reese.
Really?
So thanks.
Oh, God, I wasn't first choice then. Good to know.
You were my first choice. You were my first choice.
Seasoned jokesmith.
It was really a weird job because of I was sent an early edit that was not graded.
Yeah.
For those of you, it looks so different. For those of you who don't know anything about that, listeners, anything that's filmed becomes graded that make the colours better.
Yes.
Make it look like everything looks on TV. But before you get that, everything looks like it is filmed on a fucking potato. Yeah, it looks insane.
like a VCR which has not had the tracking work on
it. Yeah.
Ever.
And then also like there was all this narration but it was just, it hadn't, it, you hadn't recorded it yet. No, so it was just this woman's voice just going, it would be you doing a scene. And you're like, God damn it. And then it would cut to, I was very unhappy in this situation. And then I was like trying to help with that. Yeah. Just being like, oh my God, this is so hard to imagine. But it was a pleasure and an honour to work on that show.
Yeah, well, fun. We've enjoyed having you here.
And, yeah, no, definitely. Thank you for having me. Thank you for finally making it. And I would, and my listeners would love to know where they could see more of your stuff. Can I say, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, or however you can designate your gender, Reese is a very, very funny person on social media, and is one of, I would say, one of the early adopters so far as like one-liners. And if you've heard a very good Umbro joke on Twitter, odds are Reese fucking wrote it. But yeah,
one of the best.
One of the best. And was, yeah,
thanks
was
very much.
I'm going to go like Hess and you are two of the.
Doesn't really work anymore. Right. Twitter, that sort of thing. I got in there in the days where one-liners, you could gain followers if you do one-liners. Now, if you do one-liners, people are not interested.
Where's the new frontier now, Reese? How are you bringing it back now?
I'm just not. I just plug stuff. Right. I don't have anything to plug. I don't know, it's jokes, but it's less like gaggy than it used to be.
Right.
But it's because now everything that goes viral on Twitter is just written phonetically in Scottish.
Right. Okay.
So unless I'm doing that, and then it's like Scottish Twitter goes viral, or a porn star doing a tweet about football goes viral.
That's just true. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
but it's all right.
Yeah, you gonna play? There must be something to plug.
Some work in progress. When does this go out?
Well, in 2019, so you've got a whole.
Got some work in. I'm doing a work in progress show at least every month at the Bill Murray and Angel.
Oh.
And then, but they'll probably become more frequent by the time this is out. Watch that. I got a new show I'm going to do. Don't know what it's going to be called yet.
Nice. And that'll be at Edinburgh 2019.
Do it in Edinburgh 2019, and then I'll do it on tour.
Oh.
Also in 2019.
So look out for Reese James on tour, and also check out his special Live from Soho Theatre, right?
Oh yeah.
So check that out. That's also available on British Airways as
check well. Check that out on every British Airways flight you go on. Watch that and get the numbers up. Yeah. Danes is on there as well.
Yeah, check us out.
Even if you're going to have a nap, just put it on.
Watch it, yeah. It's not that great, but.
But you just put it on.
Actually, quite a difficult night, that recording. But, it wasn't ideal. A lot of people trying to go to the toilet, people heckling me about Leicester winning the league. It was a frustrating evening.
My God.
Watch it. We edited it. If it's the half an hour version, it's great.
Enjoy your flight. You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him at danebaptweets. Our guest was Reese James. You can follow Reese on Twitter at reesejamesy. The show was produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me at the Howard Cohen. The show was mixed and music was by Faye Saki. Thanks to Polly and Gelly. Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, question everything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.